Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Maybe we could get him to sing.
This is easy to do it this way, the way that your new
it's
system,
too easy.
Fourier.
I know.
It is much too
well,
easy.
Well, it's one of the Joe's idea. I can't really claim it as mine. With two people, it's. I don't even think you had a guess, Glenn.
I did. No, I had a couple.
I don't think you had a guess.
I got a couple in there. Whether he won the last 5 years, I throw it all in there. What are we talking
about? It's easy.
About?
Well, if it's a Patriots player, I feel like it's really easy to kind of separate and figure out who it is based on the
based
first
on
dynasty
the
opposed
go,
to the, yeah, to the second
era
dynasty.
Era. Yeah. So it's pretty obvious. I'm looking at a helmet here in my home studio, my Shaw's and Star Market studio. Right over there is a Patriots helmet. It's signed by a guy by the name of Adam Vinatieri. Yeah. That's what it's.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, my guess is Adam Vinatieri. Lou, I'm assuming you guys are going to have a love fest.
Well,
this is going to be like.
Paisan.
Well, he went with the ethnic question. You know, is he Italian?
Well, you said kicker. I said, is he Italian? Boom. End it. Go to commercial.
Okay. Right. So, are we ready, Tyler? Are we ready? Let's hear the resume.
This next mystery guest is a four-time Super Bowl champion and just wrapped up season number 24 in the NFL as a player. He scored more points than any player in NFL history. And he's so old, he even tried out for the then World League of American Football. You'll get a kick out of this guy. Okay, old man, I mean mystery guest, reveal yourself.
You betcha, Adam Vinatieri. That's a heck of an introduction, you know. When you lost me at Italian, though. Once you said Italian, I was already hooked.
24 years? It's been that long? Oh my God!
I know, right? It doesn't seem like that. I tell you, just years kind of run together. I remember playing with Christian about a decade and a half ago.
It's really amazing. I always figured that long snappers and kickers would always have the last laugh if they're good, especially because the longevity, the ability for them to play a long period of time is just so it's unheard of. Like the fact that Brady's still playing as a quarterback at 20 is unheard of, but you going into 25, I don't know how your leg hasn't fallen off, to be honest with you.
Well, it's had its growing pains, that's for sure. At this point, you wake up in the morning and you have a little more aches and pains. But you know, the funny thing is, all the guys give me a hard time about 24 years in the league and this and that. And I just tell them, well, when I retire, I can start taking my pension right away. So it's good.
Well, I'll say this. Christian, at times over the years, has been critical of maybe some kickers around the league.
He hates kickers.
But he's always said Adam's different. Adam's the one kicker that I like. He's a football player. I don't know why he says that.
That's the ultimate compliment, Adam. So you should be proud of that. That's a badge of honor.
No, absolutely. I like that. You know, it's funny. I think, and I don't want to speak for Christian at all, but, football, the games, practices, and workouts and all that, they meant just as much to me as they did everybody else. So I was in the weight room kind of challenging the other guys. And trust me, nobody wanted to get outlifted or outran by a kicker, that's for sure. So by me competing, I think it maybe even elevated some other people to make them just a smidge better, too. And like I said, I think that goes noticed, you know, if you're in there working your butt off, hey, listen, everybody has a bad play, or we miss a kick, or somebody drops a pass, or whatever the situation may be. But I think everybody can appreciate it if they see you in there working and knowing that it means just as much to you as it does to anybody else, you know. So, and you know, you're right. As a specialist, you're not on the field all game long. You get to go out there and 5-6 plays a game or 10 plays a game if it's a high scoring game. But yeah, you know, you want to be as big of a part of it as everybody else, and you want to make sure everybody understands that, you know, you want to help the team win as much as anybody does.
We're talking to Adam Vinatieri, our mystery guest today, former New England Patriot, Indianapolis Colt. So when you've seen all of this stuff, because we're watching all of these old games right now, Adam, and they're showing a lot of these old Patriot games, and you see the Snowball game with Oakland, and you see the first Super Bowl win and that game. Are you watching any of the stuff? Are you looking back? It seems like it was so long ago, but it really, all of those great moments are what's going to put you into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but yeah, no, it is fun. You know, it's weird not having sports going on right now, so you find anything to kind of stay, you know, into it, if you will, and watching some of these old games. It's funny because I haven't watched any old Super Bowls or any old playoff games until they start playing some of these now, and you know, it's kind of fun because I can't pull my eyes away from it. Once I see that it's on, I've got to watch it. And I know what's going to happen. I've seen it happen a few times, but it never gets old, that's for sure. And to think that, you know, Christian, yourself and I and Brady and Brewski and Vrabel and all those guys were part of those early teams that helped build that dynasty into what it is today. You know, it's definitely a badge of honor, but it was definitely a heck of a lot of fun to look back. And the only regrets that I have is, as I've still continued to play, everybody has their reunions, and I haven't been able to go and shake hands and give hugs and have a couple drinks with my buddies. So I'm looking forward to the day that I get to do that as well.
Hey, Adam, I think you're a good guy to ask here. Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay playing for Bruce Arians. And, you know, the phrase, if we lose, we booze. And I think a lot of people wondering, how will Brady react to Bruce Arians? It's almost like people think it's like a frat house down there. He has no discipline, lets his guys do whatever he wants. So you tell us, what is Bruce Arians like and how you think that will work down in Tampa?
Well, I was very fortunate to have him as my coach for a little while in Indy. And I really, really admire the guy. He's definitely an offensive-minded guy, and the thing that's great about him is he has no fear. Like, he'll be the guy that it will be, you know, they'll be up by 4 points, and it's third and long, and there's a minute left on the clock, and, you know, normally most guys hand the ball off, punt, and let your defense do it. Bruce is the guy that does a play-action pass and throws it for 25 yards down the field and gets a first down, then they kneel it out, and it's done. I say that because it happened. I was part of games, and I just shook my head going, this guy is ballsy, and he goes 100 miles an hour, and I think Tom's going to love it because I'm sure they gave Tom the keys to the car and said, you know, run this thing like it's like you want to. But Bruce is a really, really great offensive minded coach, and I, you know, they've got some good receivers there now. Obviously, with Gronk coming back now, that will fill a hole too. And I just they've got a good young team, and I, you know, I hate to say it, but I think that they're going to be one of the teams on the top of the, you know, at the very top at the end.
You know what, Adam? It's funny. So it never, a guy being drafted, having a great career, and retiring with the team that drafted him, it's kind of the exception to the rule. Like the Teddy Bruschis of the world, the Troy Browns of the world, Matt Light. Mm-hmm. The majority of guys are like you, are like Vrabel, are like Seymour, who are forced to go someplace else. I was amazed that they didn't figure something out with you, that they actually let you leave and go to another team, and their rival, as a matter of fact. Were you surprised, or did you expect it when you saw what was going on with Brady and his contract negotiations and his affiliation with the team?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I've seen, you know, that's the nature of football. I don't want to poke fingers at one organization or another because it happens across the league on the majority of players, like you said. I've seen it happen a bunch of times. I don't know exactly 100% what happened in that organization and why Tom left, but I know he was wanting some weapons. He wanted to continue to do his thing. And I think he just kind of looked at it and said, you know, if I'm going to keep doing this, I want to have the best opportunity to continue to win. And for some reason, he didn't think that that was with the Patriots at this point, I guess. But, you know, speaking of myself, you know how Bill does his things. He's allowed a lot of guys to leave while they still had some good productive years left in them. And they'll either trade them or let them go and, you know, and maybe get something for them or something. But I was a little, not surprised, but I'd seen it happen with Lawyer Malloy and Bledsoe and a couple of the different guys before I got to that point. So I know they don't like to pay high for certain guys. And I guess they don't make a precedent of being the highest paid player at positions and stuff like that. So I think that's a reason why some guys end up going to other teams. But I don't think that's an issue with Brady. I don't think he's ever been the guy that demanded the highest paid stuff. I just think he may have left for maybe looking at the grass is greener somewhere else and an opportunity to continue to, you know, throw to some pretty dynamic receivers in Tampa Bay.
Adam Vinatieri, our mystery guest today. So you mentioned 24 years. You did have season-ending knee surgery. Are you coming back for year 25?
That's the million-dollar question at this point. I've said it before, and I'm still at the present time and where I'm at. I obviously had surgery that I didn't get to finish the season this last year and kind of struggled all season long with that knee surgery. They told me that it was something that was going to take, you know, 7 months ish for recovery time. I'm getting close to the end of that. I'm not back yet. I'm not 100% yet. I'm still trying the best that I can to get back. And if I can make it back and feel like I can still be productive, I definitely would like to play again. But in saying that, this year's been really, really strange. Not under contract. I can't go into a facility and get a lot of hands-on work with a trainer. So my progression has been just a little bit slower than I think it would have been if I was in a facility. So, and you know, now with the coronavirus thing, you know, we've all kind of been locked down and now it's opening back up. So hopefully I can get a little bit more rehab and progress a little bit faster. And, you know, it might be I'm just ready to go right at the beginning of the season. Maybe it's I'm ready to go a couple weeks in it. And if somebody needs me, give me a call. You know, I'm still very optimistic that I can, but I'm still working toward that. But I we'll see. Hopefully.
So we're talking to Adam Vinatieri, future Hall of Famer, right? Because I think you're easily a first ballot Hall
I think
of Famer.
He's a shoo-in. Yeah.
So the question is this, Adam. Now, and don't take the easy way out because that's not the Adam Vinatieri I know. The Adam Vinatieri I know will make a bold statement and back it up, right? It's not going to run away from a fight. You have two
setting
choices.
You up so badly.
You have two choices. You're inducted into the Hall of Fame. You can either go in as a Patriot or a Colt. Ooh. Which one is it?
See, I think it's funny because I don't think you have to choose anymore.
Yeah,
I don't
but this is that. This is the foyer Hall of Fame.
You're just trying to be a jerk to me. I got you. You know, it's funny because I sit there and I go back and forth on that thought all the time, and I go, you know, my career was defined by the moments that we had in New England, the Super Bowl moments and some game winners and stuff like that. Although I've played 14 years and have had more time in Indy and more points in Indy and Super Bowls here and playoffs here as well. So I feel like I've been amazing. I just so fortunate that I've kind of played two full careers. So I think it'd be very disrespectful to either team to say,
oh,
hey,
I'm going into politics.
Politically correct answers.
No. What I said is if I ever had to make that decision, I would take a coin and I would put one a Patriots and one a Colt, and then I would have some kid flip the coin so nobody can even say that I flipped it a certain way and say, let's go, you know? So I don't know. You know, it's funny that you asked me that because if I really had to make that decision, it would be a very, very difficult decision. I feel like once a Patriot, always a Patriot, but I've got a huge admiration and a huge respect. And I feel the same way about the Colts. I really do. I mean, I've been there longer. So I guess at this moment, I don't know what I would do if I had to make that decision.
Talking to Adam Vinatieri. Adam, you know the saying, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy? Well, Stephen Gostkowski's been here for, you know, 14 years. Like, you've been in Indianapolis. And I feel like, we, even though he's 36, we still look at him as like the kid. You know, it's almost like you set the bar. And people are still critical of him at times. He had a great career here. I'm wondering if you two ever talked? Has he ever sort of sat there and said, hey, thanks. Appreciate setting the bar so high. It's like, I can't please these guys.
I tell you what, he has had an amazing career. All the stats that I had there, he like you said, after 14 years, he passed all my records and everything there. So he definitely never had to look up to me. He set his own way, and I feel like he not only then, now, and in the future, I think he's one of the best kickers to ever do the job. So he definitely doesn't have to feel like that for me. But it's funny, we've talked about, you know, when we played against each other and a few other times, we've always talked about, you know, and not even that way, just more of just the locker room and how it is to play for Bill and the Patriots and the blessings and the tough times and all that stuff there. So it's ironic because, yeah, we've had some good conversations, but it's never really been about, hey, thanks for making my job tougher, because he came right in and did a great job, and I don't think there's any looking back.
So you asked that question. How is it playing for Bill?
You know what? Here's the deal. I loved it. I absolutely love it. I respect him. I think he's the greatest coach of all time. And every day is not comfortable by any means. There's times that it's work. It's a grind. It's a pain in the butt. And there's times that it's not fun. But here's the deal. You're going to win. You're going to win 12, 13 games a year. You're going to make the playoffs. And so if you can handle getting your butt chewed and all that stuff and walking on eggshells, you're gonna be very successful. And I tell you what, there's nothing better than being on the field when the confetti's falling. Isn't that right, Christian? And so, and so you can deal with a lot of crazy stuff or whatever. You know what? 10 years, but at the end of it, when I left, I went, this is the norm. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then I realized not every coach is that way and not every organization's run that way. But you can't argue with the success of what Bill's put together. I look at him like a mentor, and I really appreciate his strictness and all that stuff. I try to raise my kids that way, and my wife probably yells at me a little bit for doing that, but I definitely appreciated everything that he did for me.
All right, so Adam, last one for me. So you have you got a lot of iconic plays for a kicker, which is irritating, but whatever. We'll go that we'll go down that route another day. I'm thinking, and one of them is the whole chasing down of Herschel Walker, which I think became the legend of Adam Vinatieri, and then there's the snowball kick. So which one are you more proud of?
Come on, man. I've got a higher quarterback ranking than Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, all these guys. What are you talking about? I'm 1 for 1, 4 yards and a touchdown. That's what I'm the most proud of. Are you kidding me? One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What was your favorite kick?
What, did you throw to Troy Brown? You threw a pass to Troy Brown?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. But, I don't know. You know, I tell you what, the most athletic moment is probably somehow catching Herschel Walker. Don't know how I did it. He's way faster than I am. But that one day, I just wasn't going to let him get to the end zone. And I just turned around and took off running. And to my surprise, I just started getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And at about the 25-yard line, our 25-yard line, I guess I dove and caught him. And He flipped around and threw the ball down and looked back, and to his surprise, it was, number 4 slow white kicker kind of thing. And he's probably going, how did that just happen kind of thing? But that was probably my most athletic moment, but most iconic kick is probably the one in the snow to tie it up in the snowball game or the snowball game, because honestly, that it was just such a low percentage kick. And if you miss it, you're cleaning out your locker and the season's over. And in a weird way, that kind of jump-started or catapulted that whole organization. That win, and then we go to Pittsburgh and win that, and then we win the Super Bowl. And then the next thing you know, we run 3 out of 4 and 6 out of the next 10 or whatever it is. And it's just amazing that, that small moments can change, so many things in the history.
Tell you what, you've come a long way. It's unbelievable. 24 years, one of the top 100 NFL players of all time. And as we said, there's no question you're going to go into the Hall of Fame. And more importantly, you're in the Mystery Guest Hall of Fame here on OMF, which is a big, huge deal. Adam, good luck in the rehab, and hopefully you get to do what
one
you want to do
year.
Going forward.
There you go. Well, thank you very much. And if for some reason it doesn't happen, I look forward to coming out and and hanging out and getting some reunion time and seeing you, Christian, and all you guys back there. It'd be a good time. So one way or another, it's going to be a good year.
You got it. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Good catching up with you. Adam Vinatieri, right here on OMF.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's happening right now is Major League Baseball saw the 114-game proposal that the Players Association had and said, this is not going to work. What they are willing to do at this point, though, is go to a full pro rata over a shorter season. Now, the length of the season is going to be really difficult for the players to accept. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 games. But the issue here is that Major League Baseball is moving a little bit toward the middle, along with the players trying to as well. For the longest time, really since the end of March when this agreement was put into place, players have been asking for their full pro rata salary. A 50-something game season Major League Baseball would be willing to do to get them there.
F passing. That was prorated. Prorated.
Prorata.
Prorated.
It works both ways.
Prorata.
So he said 50 or 60 games. The league apparently came back and it's 40 to 50 games. So here's the deal. The players won a 114-game season, which would give them, on a prorated or prorated deal, 70% of their money. The owners want a 40 to 50-game schedule, which would give the players 30%, only 30%. But here's why the owners want to do that. One, I think that's all they want to throw out on the table. That's all they're willing to lose because they don't believe they can make money. And they don't want to do a long season because if they don't get to the playoffs, they lose all of that rich rights fees for playoff games by the TV networks. And you can't play until mid or late November in a lot of cities in this country.
Yeah, number one, this isn't even an offer. This one sounds a lot like, you know, the 50-50 revenue split that the union, or the owners rather, leaked out to the media and then got the union to respond like it was an offer. This isn't even an offer yet. This is a threat that they have the ability to shorten the season to 40 or 50 games, whatever it might be. Rob Manfred, pay them the prorated salary as a last resort. This is just a public threat to the union.
I agree.
This isn't even an offer back to them yet.
No. What they're doing is they're basically saying, this is all the money we get, guys.
Their claim is that they lose money for every game played. So they don't want 114 games. They want less games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what they're doing is Major League Baseball is sitting there going, "This is the, we got a pile of money right here. This is it. 30% of what we would normally do. We can't give you any more than that. So if this is all you're going to be willing to take, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to cut the number of games down. And oh yeah, we're going to have to do it pretty quickly here, and we're going to have to start up real fast here. By the end of July, we got to be playing games because we got to get to the postseason games. I think they're screwed. I haven't changed my opinion on this. I said the same thing a week ago. They're not going to play. They got too many issues here, and they haven't even addressed, have they, Lou? All of the coronavirus issues they have to deal with.
Apparently, they've agreed on a lot of those things.
Okay.
Because, and they've agreed on the format of, you know, no more American League, National League this year to be East. AL East, NL East in the same division type of thing. Or right. Travel at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the travel's another issue, I think, for them, where the NBA and the NHL are looking at...
This is the big problem. This all comes back to this March agreement that they all signed. You know, they have different views on it. I was reading this. Joel Sherman had in the New York Post. So I forget, Don Hallam, I think it is right-hand man for Rob Manfred. He was on the conference call with Tony Clark. This is what he said. He said, one piece of good news out of Sunday's meeting is that Tony Clark acknowledged that the March agreement contemplated another negotiation over player salaries if the 2020 season couldn't be played in front of fans. We were concerned based on media reports if the players even knew that. But Tony told us the players were aware of the March agreement did not resolve the issues of player salaries in a season without fans. So that's the owner's description of it. Leaked that out to the media. This is what Joel Sherman, this is what they told Joel Sherman. They told Tony Clark about that response in an email. Tony Clark responded, Dan's quote about Sunday's meeting is purposely misleading and inaccurate. We have an agreement on compensation that says clearly how the player is going to be played, going to be paid, rather, in the event of games played, pro rata. He says, in fact, the league recently confirmed in writing that, quote, we agree that the association under agreement, players are not required to accept less than their full prorated salaries. He went on saying that Rob Manfred confirmed on Sunday, quote, we can pay you 100% of salary right now. He says this is the league's attempt to negotiate through the media. They still have no idea what that March agreement was. The union is sitting there saying they've told us that we get it, we understand, we agreed to play you your full salaries prorated. The owners are coming back and sitting there saying, well, at least the players now know that we need to renegotiate.
Wow.
They're not even close.
Wow.
Like they're still stuck on this March agreement and what it actually meant. It makes no sense. Yeah, and this has just happened last night or Sunday night.
Yeah. They're down to the last week. I think they've got about a week left because they need, 3 weeks of spring training. If you don't start this thing soon, you're in serious trouble.
I mean, they are cutting it awfully close, and I just don't – which makes me go back to, do they really want to play? Are they just sabotaging it? Are some owners saying, you know what?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, listen, it's going to cost us more money to play the games with all these new restrictions, with all the money we're going to have to pay for testing and all the different realignments. I mean, let's just wait. I mean, because maybe it makes more financial sense to just take your lumps, call it a write-off, and, wait for next year.
Here's the problem with all of that is that you're a year away from the game, which puts you in a really difficult position with the fans and media and everything else. But then they're not that far away, Lou, from having to negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement. And the owners are going to look at this thing and plead poverty. Look at our game's been destroyed financially, guys. You know, the new collective bargaining agreement has got to be totally different. This is a disaster, I think.
You know, even if they come back for, I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like, even if they come back for 40 games, 50 games, that should be enough. 40
would you,
regular
as
season.
As a player.
Yes, I would. Why
you would.
Not?
I don't think a lot of players will.
But then you could start the season, then you could start the 2021 season when, at the right time. You don't have to sit here and change it.
Here's why I wouldn't do it. Here's why I wouldn't do it. If I'm a player and I got to go into, especially if I'm a player in the last year of my deal or I'm a salary arbitration guy, why would you want to play 40 or 50 games? Have crappy numbers because you've been out of shape.
Oh, you know, you throw the numbers out. It's 40 games. I mean, nobody even gets warmed up.
You're a free agent.
How many starts is that as a pitcher?
You bet $1.35. Okay, you're Jackie Bradley Jr. Back, you bat $1.35. You go.
Well, what if you get Jackie Bradley Jr. on the good month? What if you get Jackie Bradley during the good month? And they're then it's $3.30.
They're already the free agency's already screwed. But you hope that just these both sides get together and figure this thing out and realize the big fight is next winter. You know, when you play out your season next year and then just dig in. And if one side feels like they're getting screwed in this whole thing, okay, you're going to dig in for the next CBA. But you got to get baseball back. And right now, I don't think they're close. I don't think they're going to have a season. I don't think they're close.
Yeah, I don't either.
I still question like the safety protocols that they have there. I still wonder how the hell these guys are going to fly in Boston and go to Atlanta for a 4-game series.
Yeah.
Stay in a different hotel, back and forth in Atlanta, then maybe get up and go to Tampa Bay and do the exact same thing for 3 or 4 days. Like, I wonder how that all of that is done. You know, the NBA is trying to put people out in Disneyland down in Florida, and they're having their issues right now. The NHL is trying to figure out two different cities. Major League Baseball is going to have 10 cities. Nine cities you're going to be traveling to, including the one you're living in. Everybody's out there. Then again, I mean, we get thousands of people in the streets anyway, so what the hell's the difference?
So I think there are two problems, one with the fan base and the perception with a shortened season. John Heyman writes about it on Twitter. The problem with ordering a severely shortened season, say 40 or 50 games, is that many fans would question the legitimacy of such a year if health requires it. That's one thing, but if a short season is ordered only because the sides couldn't strike a deal, critics would pounce. So, and I think he's right. I think there are a lot of fans that would look at it and say, this is a joke. This is, but
I don't,
if you're a player though, Christian, and you're a star player, why would you go out in a 40 or 50 game season so that you can injure yourself and lose all of next year?
Okay. I mean, why? Because that's what I do for a living. That's what I do for a living. I mean, it's not the best scenario. This is what I do for a living. I'm a professional baseball player. So the whole season got screwed up. They're telling me I have to adjust. I could ask the same question to really any sport. Why should the NBA come back?
Because I
Why
don't
should
think,
the NHL come back? Why should college football come back?
But there's a difference. If I'm an individual player, I'm going to look at it from a selfish point of view. And I'm going to sit there and say 40 to 50 games, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that and risk injury or whatever. Now, you're right. What does it do to the game? It hurts the game immensely. But do you think that the individual player is going to look at it and say, oh, guys, we all have to come back? I saw the Pedro Martinez comments, and he said, oh, they all have to come back right now because the fans need them and yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm not sure Pedro would have said that if he were one of those guys that had to play in a 40 or 50 game season. You're going to ramp your arm up. You're going to get ready for the season. And then you're going to have what?
What if you make the playoffs? Fine. What if you make the playoffs?
Well, now you're talking about, we're not talking about risk that the players are taking on. They can talk about the COVID-19 and the travel and their family. But now you are talking about, a 3-week ramp up after having the last 2-3 months off. To go out and possibly give you, 10 starts if you're a starting pitcher?
Yeah.
What comes of that?
Nothing.
Maybe I'm not ready to pitch. You're going to expanded rosters. Maybe my first couple outings got to be 4 or 5 innings. But, you're caught in it, right? You're competing. So you're pushing it. Maybe you're pushing yourself. I think there'll be a lot of injuries. I think it's going to be a lot of injuries all sports if they come back.
So for 30% of your pay, Christian, especially if you're a free agent, or you're a salary arbitration guy, you're worried about next year.
See, and I think that's a big part of it. I think when the longer this goes on, the players will say, you know what, really, you want me to ramp up for 4 weeks and then play 40 games? I mean, I'll do it for 100 games, I'll get more money. But every day that goes by, I would think that the players would feel like it's less and less worth it. And I would also feel so your willingness to compromise, I think, goes away.
So let me give
you don't care anymore.
So let me give you,
because you only compromise when you care.
So let me give you the other one, and where coronavirus comes into it, and where Lou is talking. So you're traveling, and you're going from Boston to Atlanta, let's say, all right. And Atlanta's an open city now, all right. So Atlanta, by the time you go there, it's an open city. But by the rules that you have, you pretty much have to stay in the hotel. You have to pretty much stay quarantined.
If it's open, you're going to go out.
Right. But you're not supposed to if it's open.
Yeah.
So you're going to operate with a different set of rules than the city.
I took that proposal yesterday that we heard right at the end of the show. We played the sound. I think SportsCenter Passan had it. And said, okay, there's movement. But it wasn't. It was just a test balloon. That's it. They just threw it out there. And it was more of a threat than anything else when you look into it.
Yeah.
Manfred has the right to say, we're going to play 50 games. We're going to pay you a prorated salary for 50 games, basically about 30% of your pay, whatever it is. Just to let you know, I have the right to do that. It was a threat. It's not an offer. They haven't offered that. So that's all this is. So we're still, what, are we going to wait another week? So the owner's going to come back, Friday? And the union's going to come back, next Tuesday? Like, this is going too slow. They need to figure this thing out quick because they're running out of time. It's June 2nd.
Remember
with that
injuries.
Soft deadline, June 1st? They're talking about people, is there a 14-day quarantine before they can show up for spring training?
Yes.
Okay, but then you've got what? Then when can the group start working out together? When do the games start? Where are we right now? Are we at the end of July?
Right.
Because it was supposed to be July 4th.
Well, it's going to be different. In Massachusetts, the sports teams can show up, but they have to do it in small little groups. Well, that's not how you operate. If you're a team and you need to actually go out there and have some real action, you can't do that, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the other league that we haven't even talked about, which is interesting.
MLS?
Because not MLS, the Canadian Football League.
Oh,
I mean, not that we care about it, but it's just, you know, you need a guide. And I think regardless of whether what's, you know, basketball, baseball, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're looking for a league that's making a decision, overcoming obstacles, you know, and just
figuring
it out.
So what are they doing? What is the Canadian Football League doing? I don't even know.
I think they're in trouble. I was just thinking about it. It's like, have they decided, not like we follow the Canadian Football League, but if we're going to follow Korean baseball and monitor what they're doing as a guide to what, you know, Major League Soccer, European soccer.
Other than the first game, we didn't even pay attention to the Korean Baseball League.
My point is that they're back. Basketball was back. You know, they brought their sports back. You know, soccer came back. UFC came back. The Canadian Football League, which starts pretty – I think it's starting soon because they get started in their first regular season game is in the summer. They end because it's so damn cold up there. I was just thinking about it because if – again, all these worldwide sports that are dealing with the same situation, I just think it could be a – I just wonder if the NFL is following them to see what they do. And they're much more reliant on fans because nobody's watching their games on TV.
Well, the NFL, because they have the ability to sort of sit back and see what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
They've got a little bit of time, right? So baseball, they don't have to maybe deal with that. Maybe they will have to deal with that. We'll see. If they don't have fans, I don't know. Maybe they will ask for the players to get more. But I thought you were going to mention the NBA.
I am.
Because everybody kept talking about how great the NBA is doing, the NHL is doing. You know, we stick to the NBA.
NBA is already having disputes internally right now as to what they will, what they need to do. We'll get to all of that. Plus your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A momentous day of cleaning 80 fishes.
What?
It's Rob Bradford.
Who is that? Help.
Who knows?
Fishes.
When he was doing his MLB.
Don't you remember he was doing the game?
Play by play. Yeah.
Virtual game of the week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market.
There it is. Look at that. Good job.
Two loaves of French bread for $7.
Oh, we need real games back here real soon. So on Friday, the Board of Governors had a call in the NBA, and they thought they were all going to come together on this 22-team restart, right? The truncated season or whatever. And then the problem was that some of the other owners sat there and said, no, no, this is not fair. And Clay Bennett, who is the chief owner of the, what do they call them now? They don't call them owners anymore. What do they call them?
Executive or presidents.
Governors?
By the way, I just noticed.
They can't be an owner.
Yeah, they got, and ESPN listed them as governors. An owner. Shame on them. That's Adrian Wojnarowski. That is not politically correct. Oklahoma City Thunder owner, Clay Bennett. He's a governor. That's what he is. He's a governor.
Yeah.
Delivered an impassioned soliloquy on why the league and the owners need to consider the competitive and financial plights of the smaller market teams. You're leaving us out. So we can't finish our season. We can't make money. And so they held off on all of this. And now the NBA is seriously considering 30 teams involved in this. And they're all going to be staying at the Coronado Springs Hotel. I've been there before. Mm. It's okay. It's not the Ritz of the Four Seasons. Players should know that in advance.
So, I mean, it's funny. So the owners are like, hey, we want to be involved. We want to be involved. I wonder if they've asked the players. Like, exactly. Golden State, do you think Golden State, you think the players really want to come back?
Steph
just
can't zero
in 2 weeks.
He's already
can't
said
wait
it, hasn't
to come
he?
Back. Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, maybe they, I mean, they're still going to share in the revenue, correct? I would assume that would be part of it.
No, they don't get all of the revenue because they're not included in the games right now. So there's money for each one of the games. That, I think, is the gripe here of the governors of the small market teams. They're missing out on some of it because they could use.
So what are they talking about? They want to get their 10 games in? Is that what they had left? 10?
Yeah, they're TV marketing.
They want their 10 games in.
For the regional TV. So in regional TV, they lose all of that. They don't get that revenue.
Well, like Christian said, the players, like, you're out of it. You know, we heard Damian Lillard last week, and, you know, depending on what format you go by, I mean, if you go by 1 through 16 and get rid of the conferences, they're only, I think, a half a game or a game out of the playoffs. Now, they're 3.5 out of the West, but if you include the East, they're right there. I don't understand why these awful, awful basketball teams, I understand why the owners are sitting there saying it, but you'd have to look at some of these TV contracts. Wasn't it something like you got to play so many amount of games, right? I would think that they've played enough games to sort of be okay with their money contracts that they have locally.
So this was Bennett's gripe. The inequities hurt small market teams. We go 9 months without games, March to December. Could have an impact on developing players, cultivating sponsorships, selling tickets for next season. Could cause massive problems for us in the future. So that's what he's complaining about. He's basically saying, if you take my market totally out of it, not only do I lose the regional TV revenue, rights fees that I have, I have to give that money back now to the local regional, you know, NBC or whatever stations in the market. But on top of that, it hurts me going out and getting sponsorship for next year because we didn't play games. We were out of the public's eye. I don't know. Something to that?
No.
Well, how are they going to please everybody? They're not
going
to please everybody.
But what
can't
you,
please everybody.
I know you can't, but wouldn't you fight for every dollar? I mean, if you're losing money, nobody likes to lose money. So I'm not surprised that these billionaires who don't – just not get it twisted. It's not like they're just, you know, not watching where their money is. They want to cut their losses just like anybody else does. So I hear them. I get it. And I'm actually for them. You know,
you want 30 teams in this thing.
I can easily see it as an owner saying, whoa, wait a second. We're all going to be involved in this. But I can easily see the player saying, we're good.
Right.
Don't do us any favors, buddy.
So deal with the financials. Okay, like you mentioned, you're not invited to the dance. We're bringing the league back. You're not invited because your team sucks. However, we are going to do revenue share. So maybe the small market teams will share in the revenue they make in the NBA playoffs and that kind of. So spread the money around that way. Because I heard some teams said, well, we don't want my players to take 9 months off. It'll hurt the development of some young players in the league. Well, I think coming back and playing 5-6 games just to get to that 70-game threshold, that's the number, 70 games for TV. You think 4 or 5 games is going to help your youngsters improve to the point where you can get to 70 games and deal with it financially? No, it's about money. So spread the wealth, right? The NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I think that – They probably won't do it because, again, if you're, you could probably make a bunch of excuses of why you shouldn't do it. Well, you know, it's too many people there. You don't want anybody getting sick. Well, you know, it's probably best for everybody that we limit the amount of teams because we all are in this together, so we got to be careful.
But here's the problem. They're coming up with a vote. The vote is going to come this Thursday. And the problem is they need 3/4 majority of those 30 teams. They need 23 votes out of 30 teams for it to work. And the small market teams are claiming they're going to vote against it. So they may go into this vote on Thursday and find out they don't have the votes. Because 22 teams may go along with it. But what if the other 7 teams say screw you? Or the other 8 teams say screw you? They got a problem.
Will they receive the same criticism that those greedy baseball players are getting?
Probably.
They're not bringing a sport back to a grieving country that needs help right now?
No, but I don't think the baseball players are doing this. This is going to be the basketball players, rather. I think Christian's right. The basketball players probably, if you're out of the playoffs right now, you don't want to come back. If you're one of the owners in a small market, you are absolutely wanting to come back, right? So Jackie Mack, our buddy Jackie McMullen, talked to an out-of-the-playoffs coach and explains why he wants his team to return to play.
I actually talked to a coach today that had a very interesting point, a coach that's out of the race, that said originally he was leaning towards, maybe I don't want to play. And then he said, you start to count the numbers, and he started realizing 8 months off? That's right. Way too long for my team. I'm now in favor of coming back, having a little mini camp, play a little bit, get my guys some sea legs, have a mini training camp, and then, yes, okay, we'll be done. But if you're going to start in December, which everyone believes we will, restart in December the following year, that's almost 8 months off, guys. Do the math. That's a long time.
So you can look at baseball, and we could talk about the pissing and moaning of the players and the owners, but you have pissing and moaning amongst the owners right now with the NBA.
Is there a chance that if they start in December – that rather than calling it, say, a summer league in Vegas, do a fall league or something similar to that to kind of get some kind of playing time or anything?
I guess they could do that.
I don't think they would have one. They wouldn't have much time in between because the playoffs would probably finish in October, and then you would kind of have the summer league, the fall league, like you're saying, in November, and then the season start in December. That's kind of a lot.
Yeah, but the summer league would be your ramp-up, and the only people you play in the summer league are your rookies, right?
Right.
The free agents that you add on
fringe
to your team.
Fringe roster guys.
Fringe roster guys. So, and you'd have to ramp it up anyway, so it would make some sense.
But you do need a little bit of understanding of what's going on. I mean, you didn't just get shut down by choice. You got shut down by a pandemic. You're doing everything you can to try to get the TV money for the future of the league to help them in the future with this salary cap. You need that playoff money. And, you know, teams are sitting there saying, well, my guy's going to have 8 months off. Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Baseball's had 3 months off. Yeah, NHL's had, you know, the same similar time, too. So that's, don't you just have to at some point say, deal with it?
Yeah.
Everybody else is dealing with it. I'm sorry you guys had 8 months off, but.
Yeah, we're all dealing with hell out here. What I would do is I would have the 16 teams. And I would keep the 8 teams in the East, keep the 8 teams in the West, and let's move on. And I'm sorry all you other teams that didn't get in it. You know, we'll find a way of, giving you some scraps here or there.
I mean, can a team that's 28-36 be bitching that they don't have a chance to get in?
They might.
28-36?
They might.
You know what I mean? 28-36?
An owner's going to bitch because
Pelicans,
an owner's
the Kings,
looking at it from
the Spurs, even the Blazers. You're 28-36, dude.
An owner's looking at it, though, from a financial standpoint. It's not about where you are competitively. It's where you are financially. So if he's got a local, regional TV network down there sitting there going, hey, you didn't play enough games. We got a contract here. You got to give some of this money back. You know, we have to get this money back. This is not fair to us. He's got a problem. As Christian said, the billionaires, they do not want to give their money back. And in this case, I think they're going to be forced to if they don't have revenue coming in.
Well, they're not going to be happy about it. But I would say that if there's power in numbers. So, I mean, if you're going to let them all come back, let them all come back. But
isn't it interesting that you've got 22 teams in the league in the proposal, and yet you need 23 to be able to pass this. So if you get.
So they'll open it to 24 teams.
Yes.
Just to try to get over that 23 number.
That's the way to do it.
Open it to 24 teams if that's the case.
That might be the only one.
You get 24 owners in and say, yep, sounds good to me. Let's do it.
We're all doing it from the Shaw's and Star Market home studios, as always, during the pandemic. We got another hour to go. We're going to go 30 minutes commercial free. And we can tell you this, it might be a quieter night tonight, or maybe it won't, because most of the mayors are coming out with 7 or 8 o'clock curfews. Some of them in California, even earlier than that. We'll get to all of that and your phone calls coming up right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.